All right, welcome into hour number two of The Huddle here for Monday afternoon, Thanksgiving Monday on ESPN Upstate's Greg McKinney. Lonzo out this week, Patrick Brown in with me, and we're taking you up until 4 o'clock again. No show for us tomorrow because Clemson basketball won today in the Cayman Classic over Akron. It's a close game, 72-69. So they will play the winner of Illinois State-Georgia tomorrow, and that's a 1 o'clock airtime. It's almost as if they planned it. To just cover up the huddle perfectly. That three-hour Clemson basketball broadcast will lay right on top of our 1-4 window tomorrow. That's all right.
I guarantee you that's what the coach was saying, you know, after a timeout.
I think so.
He's like, hey, guys, we don't want the huddle on tomorrow.
No.
So win the game.
Win this game. Make it close. Make it look good. Win it by three. And they did. And then we'll find out tomorrow, depending on what happens with Clemson tomorrow. If they should lose, same thing happens Wednesday. They'll be a 1 o'clock game on Wednesday. We'll know after us if they lose the game tomorrow. We'll know they're
So they lose tomorrow, no show on Wednesday.
That's correct. And then no show Thursday, no show on Friday. Where could I go? I could book a real quick vacation here, man. I like it. I do have a football game Friday night, though. So I do have to hang around for this.
Just go to the mountains and come back. All right.
Yeah, I like it. 844-477-3776. Delvin's been hanging on. Let's get him in next. Hey, Delvin, welcome in.
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
We're doing well, Delvin. Happy Thanksgiving.
I think Boston realized, I forgot that Clemson made a struggle, but they won by 29 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Duke. Can you imagine if they would have scored the first quarter, what it could have been like? It could have been worse than it did.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, Duke was a 7-3 team. Clemson had them at home at night. They were favorites. They started poorly. They had one of the worst halves that Clemson's had in a while, and they still won by 29. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy, but we did have a little bit of a shake-up. West Virginia went down, so that's shaking up the top 10. It's going to be interesting now. If they win against Oklahoma this week and then beat them again next week, they're going to shake up the whole top 10.
Yeah, a little bit. Agree with that. That Syracuse-Notre Dame game wasn't any good. That was no contest.
Now I go to see who they put UCF now because West Virginia lost. They put them behind. They put West Virginia in front of them or put them behind them. That's going to be the rest of the two, so they got two losses now.
Oh, I put UCF ahead of West Virginia now. Yeah. I mean, look.
Yeah, UCF is firmly.
I don't know now. The committee got LSU for from the UCF and a lot of one-loss teams, and they got two losses, so we don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, but LSU had two high-quality losses.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the same. It's not apples to apples, I don't think. And UCF was good against a ranked team in Cincinnati. They blew them out like 25 points. So, thank you, Delvin. We appreciate the call here. I want to get to the NFL stuff. That's disappointing for the Panthers yesterday, man.
I know. It's such a shame for them to fall the hands of my Lions.
Oh, yeah, as your team. I forgot about that.
How does it feel?
How did you feel when they were going for two? Did you say, yeah, go for it. Go for two.
No, this is what I thought. I was like, they don't trust Gano.
Well,
and rightfully
for
so.
For good reason, yeah.
Because he missed a field goal and missed an extra point beforehand.
Right.
And people are questioning the coaching decision, saying, why go for two? Why go? That was a perfectly reasonable thing, because here's the thing. You go for it, and you get it, you've won. If you go for the field goal, or go for the extra point, excuse me, tie it up, you gave Matthew Stafford, who's having a down year, I will say this, but still, you gave him a minute and 6 seconds with three timeouts.
Yeah. No, Rivera said that. He said, look, on the road, you go for two. And they were on the road. And they had the two. They had the two. Cam Newton took a shotgun snap, had a clean pocket, had plenty of time to find a receiver. Jarius Wright was open, and Cam missed him. Threw it behind and over Jarius Wright with 1:07 left. So Detroit hangs on to win 20-19. What I like about Cam, though, is that he has matured as far as how he handles situations like this in his post-game interviews. Here he was yesterday.
I did. I had so much time, and I was kind of toiling between a lot of different things. And, you know, I was about to run, and then that's when, you know, Janky kind of flash so fast, and I didn't get an opportunity to set my feet. But, you know, needless to say, man, I gotta make that play. You know, I feel as if we make that play, have all confidence in our defense, you know, stopping those guys, and we get a much-needed win on the road. And you know, this game is such a humbling game at times, and today I was humbled, and, you know, it happens.
It happens. I like that Cam is taking responsibility for that and not just sulking. That's a nice change. Thank you, Felice, for that.
And Cam did play a really good game.
Yeah, he was good.
Throughout the whole game. He made one interception mistake.
Right.
But besides that, really clean game. And like he said, he didn't set his feet. He had, I think, about 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket during the two-point conversion. He could have easily ran that in. Mm-hmm. There was so much room for him to do that. But I think if he would have set his feet, there was a defender coming around his blind side that was right there, right when Cam threw the ball. So if he set his feet, he probably could have gotten hit on that point.
Lions got an onside kick to seal the victory and ended their three-game losing streak.
Thank the Lord.
Matthew Stafford had a go-ahead 19-yard touchdown pass to Kenny Golladay with 5:19 left. So Stafford was good, too, 23 of 37 with a touchdown. But now the Panthers are suddenly 6-4 with two straight losses. I mean, they were 6-2 and looking good at one point. And now the Panthers are just kind of in the mix. New Orleans is pulling away to win the South, and so the Panthers have to think wild card. And if you look at it right now, Panthers at 6-4. You got the Vikings at 5-4-1. You got the Cowboys at 5-5. You got the Seahawks at 5-5. So they're in still pretty good shape.
You got the Packers at what?
4-5-1. Yeah, 4-5-1. They're still in good shape, but there's a lot of teams they're going to be kind of slugging it out with for that wild card, for those two wild card spots. Because right now, it's New Orleans, man. New Orleans is just rolling. 9 straight wins. They're 9-1. They're 3 games ahead of the Carolina Panthers in the NFC South. Jimmy wants to talk about the Panthers. Let's bring him in here at this point. Hi, Jimmy. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going
great.
Well.
I totally disagree with them going for the 2 points. I mean, yeah, Gano. I mean, how do you hit a 63-yarder to win a game and miss? I think he's missed 2 point afters in the last few weeks, and then missed that easy 34-yard field goal, which, you know, if he had hit those two in that game, there wouldn't have been any question of going for the 2 points. So hopefully he's, you know, putting the weight on his shoulders for that. I hope he's feels responsible for that. But I don't know if y'all noticed it, but Cam didn't move a bit in the pocket.
Nope.
I don't think I saw him take off and run one time. And he had tons of time to run. So what is the deal with that? Is he worried about hurting his shoulder? Is the coaching staff getting on to him, worried about him hurting his shoulder? But he could have ran that in on that 2-point conversion. He had all day. He didn't move a step.
Yep, would have been the better choice, no question about it. And I don't know. I haven't heard anything about them telling him to be more careful, but they might not admit it if they did tell him that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few times he got sacked. He just stood there, didn't even try to, you know, spin out of anything. I'm like, what's the deal? Yeah. I mean, that's just not Cam. I mean, there's some situations where you have to run, and that 2-point conversion was one of those situations. So, yeah, I'm kind of upset about losing Detroit, but New England lost to Detroit also. I think they got beat like 26-10. Yeah.
And so did the Packers, I believe, as well, which is great. But the thing is, the Packers lost because Crosby couldn't hit a field goal either. It's the second time where two really good kickers have come into Ford Field, and they've just struggled. I don't know what is going on in the water in Detroit or what's going on the field, but both of those all-star kickers have just struggled in the Ford Field.
Yeah, I mean, how do you miss a field goal in a dome stadium where there's no wind?
I ask myself that every day.
I mean, it should be like shooting a jump shot, you know, fundamental technique, you know, extension follow through, same way with kicking, you know? I mean, how can you forget how to kick the ball? I mean, if there was some wind, I could see him missing those.
Yeah. Unfortunate. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. McCaffrey at 53 yards rushing, but Cam Newton, 2 carries for 2 yards. That is not Cam Newton-like right there. And they didn't try anybody else. They didn't try anybody else. They were talking about trying Cameron Artis Payne more at running back. They gave him 1 carry. 1 carry on the day. Was a big day for DJ Moore. It's nice to see him stepping up. 7 catches for 157 yards for the Panthers. And Luke Kuechly had a big day on defense with 11 tackles. But all for naught as they lose 20-19 to the Detroit Lions and fall to a record of 6-4 on the season. Mm-hmm. And now just can't afford any, you know, can't afford losses right now.
No. And one player I will highlight from Detroit as well is former South Carolina graduate Bruce Ellington. Got picked up by Lions 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Had a breakout game. Converted a lot of good key third downs for the Lions on offense. So had to give a little shout out to him because he played really well in that offense.
Yep. Good to see him stepping up. Other NFL action yesterday. But the Cowboys beating the Falcons. That's a little surprising.
They're not coming back, people.
22-19. Big fourth quarter for the Cowboys.
Everyone calm down. Okay, I hear Cowboy Nation out there going, oh, we're back. We're back. 100% we're back.
Well, we can go quite that far.
You're not back.
But Zeke Elliott had 122 yards rushing on the day. Falcons now 4-6, so they're in trouble. The Colts, now they're talking Andrew Luck for MVP.
No. This is Drew Brees' MVP.
It is, yeah, for sure. Luck was good, though. 23 of 29, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns. Colts just blew out the Titans 38-10 yesterday, so the Colts are 5-5 now, as are the Titans. The Giants beat Tampa Bay. Eli Manning on fire. You can't stop Eli Manning. Come on, man.
When you question his job, apparently he becomes back to the former Eli Manning of old, and now he's playing lights-out football. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. They win 38-35 over Tampa Bay. Manning 17 of 18. Are you kidding me? 2 touchdowns. And you put that with Saquon Barkley and 142 yards rushing, and they're going to be hard to beat. They didn't stop any at Tampa Bay, but they did put up 38 points.
And this should show people why they drafted Saquon Barkley.
Boy, something. 27 carries, 142 yards. Deshaun Watson didn't have a particularly good game, but the Texans won anyway over the Redskins.
Yeah.
23-21. Watson, 16 of 24. And just 208 yards, he had 2 interceptions. Quarterback rating of 16.9 in the game for DW4. But they won. And they keep winning. They won 7 straight, the Houston Texans. And so now they're looking really good to win their division as they go to 7-3 overall.
And they beat a really good Redskins team who's leading the NFC East.
Yeah, that's a good win.
Everyone always keeps forgetting that the Redskins are leading the NFC
right.
East.
And they beat them on the road.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Steelers got the Jaguars 20-16, so the Steelers are hot. They had to come up with 14 fourth-quarter points to do that. Roethlisberger, 314 yards on the day. The Ravens over the Bengals, 24-21, and it was Lamar Jackson's day. What did Lamar Jackson do for the Ravens? Well, he was 13 for 19 passing, 150 yards, so that's a fairly low total. He had 1 interception, no touchdown, so not great throwing the ball. Ran the ball for 117 yards on 27 carries. So that's pretty good for Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens get the win over the Bengals, 24-21. The Raiders beat the Cardinals, 23-21. Now both those teams are 2-8.
What a great game. What a great game.
It was a good game between the Broncos and the Chargers, and the Broncos won it. A little mild upset, I would say. 23-22, so the Chargers' third loss of the year. Phillip Rivers for the Chargers threw for 400 yards and lost in that game. The Saints, just unbelievable. I mean, just crushed the Eagles. Drew Brees, 4 touchdown passes. 48-7, the Saints go to 9-1. Eagles might be done.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a moral crushing loss. It's going to be very hard for them to come back from that. The only plus side is that they're 2 games back from the division.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that's going to keep them in. This season has not looked good for the Eagles at all.
Sunday Night Football, the Bears continue to look good. This wasn't as close as it appears. The Vikings had 17 fourth quarter points to make it close, but 25-20. The Bears over the Vikings, so now the Bears are 7-3. Khalil Mack looks unstoppable. But overall, the Bears have just kind of become quickly the best team in the NFC North. I don't think it's a fluke.
No, I don't think it either. Like, we watched the first game against the Packers saying, if they could only get their offense down.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the offense is now playing with a lot more confidence, things that we didn't see out of the Bears for the first, past 2 or 3 years. We haven't seen that offense clicking the way they have recently. And it's a scary thing in the NFC North when you get a defense that powerful with an offense that has all the confidence in the world now.
Yeah, they were able to goad Kirk Cousins into some bad throws, too. He threw a couple of picks in the game that hurt Minnesota. Trubisky wasn't great for the Bears. He was 20 of 31, one touchdown, two interceptions, and only 165 yards in the game. But they had enough, and they had enough defense to get the win. So now the Bears at 7-3 in charge in the NFC North. Monday Night Football, big game tonight. Rams and the Chiefs. What do you think? Yeah.
There's no defense. There's going to be zero defense in this game.
Yeah.
I'm expecting this game to be 50-50 at halftime.
That might be a little much, but I hear what you're saying. The line on this favors the Rams by 3.
What is the over-under on this game?
63.5.
Go over.
For the game. 63.5 for the game.
That's an easy over.
Yeah. Yeah, you may be right.
The Patriots, who don't have as high potent offense as the Rams do, put 45 against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs scored 40 against the Patriots, too. This game is easily going to be a high-scoring draw. I think it's just going to favor Kansas City a little bit.
We will have it for you here on ESPN Upstate starting at 7:30. That's the airtime. Kickoff about 8:15 tonight. The Rams and the Chiefs, pretty good Monday Night Football matchup here that you can enjoy tonight. All right, we're going to come back and highlight what the Furman's basketball team did. It was pretty impressive, and hear from their coach, Bob Ritchie. Coming up, stay with us. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Patrick Brown. We'll be right back. It's Greg McKinney, Patrick Brown in The Huddle today, Monday edition, 19th. Of November, 844-477-3776 if you want to get in. HealthDare text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN. And on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. Clemson beat Akron in basketball earlier today at the Cayman Classic, Cayman Islands. That's got to be nice. That's a nice time to go to the Cayman Islands. Not that any time's a bad time. But right now, when it's kind of chilly up here, back home, get on down there and enjoy that. 72-69 Clemson win. So they'll get tomorrow the winner of Illinois State and Georgia. And scoring that game right now, Georgia 15, Illinois State 2.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's early. That's just like 5 minutes into the game. But may well be the Georgia Bulldogs that Clemson plays tomorrow. And that'll be a 1 o'clock start here. So we'll be right here where we normally are tomorrow, Clemson basketball from the Cayman Islands on ESPN Upstate. How about the Furman Paladins? 5 Paladins in double figures. Junior Jordan Lyons had 17 points. Senior Matt Rafferty had 15 points and 17 rebounds. And Furman beat Villanova 76-68. We're talking about the defending national champions that they just beat on the road. 76-68 was the final. So now the Paladins are 5-0 on the year for the first time since 1987-88. Furman beat Loyola Chicago last Friday, so now they have beaten 2 NCAA Final Four teams from last year in basketball. Crazy. And their coach, Bob Ritchie, talking on ESPN about what kind of run this team could make and how special they are already.
You know, I think that nothing would surprise me with this group. I think the key to it is, we see what we're capable of and we see what we can do. It's still about we've got to continue to get better. And, the neat thing about this is a lot of times you hear this in sports when teams aren't very good, but 7 of the 9 of our players tonight that played were underclassmen. And there's still some guys out there that are going to continue to get better, and I think that's the most exciting thing for me, that if they'll continue to have this spirit and if they'll continue to play connected, I think if every single day they just, hey, how do we continue to improve, then nothing would surprise me in terms of what this group's capable of.
That makes college basketball fun, right? You remember last year, Wofford went up to Chapel Hill and beat North Carolina. They didn't do it at home this year, but they did it last year. Furman beating Villanova, that's pretty big stuff. It was the first win over a top 10 opponent for Furman since they beat, this is interesting to me, East Tennessee State. Remember East Tennessee State being a top 10 team? Yeah, they had some pretty good teams back in the day. That game was in 1991. It was played in Greenville at Greenville Memorial Auditorium. That's how long ago that was. Wow. The big brown box.
Yeah.
91 when Furman beat a top 10 ETSU team. Number 8, Wildcats represent the highest-ranked opponent the Paladins have beaten since they beat number 5, Davidson, in 1965. So, huge there. Congratulations to Bob Ritchie and the Furman Paladins. Another interesting thing that happened over the weekend yesterday, South Carolina lost a women's basketball game early. It's a good Maryland team that beat South Carolina, but they didn't just beat them. They rolled. Maryland won 85-61 in Columbia at Colonial Life Arena. So, obviously, there are some issues for the Gamecock women right now that they've got. They're a different team, lost a lot, of course, but they've got to find some answers here. Senior forward Alexis Jennings, her first start after an injury. She had 9 points and 4 rebounds. But, you know, this Gamecock team, I know they just played Clemson. They beat Clemson last week, but it was a lot closer than it's ever been before. Down in Columbia against the Clemson Tigers last week. So, anyway, we'll keep an eye on Dawn Staley's team and see how they look going forward. But they have already suffered a loss here early in the season. That's somewhat surprising to see. Villanova, by the way, after that loss to Furman, they've fallen out of the top 25 that came out today. Two of the Blue Bloods, Villanova and Syracuse, gone from the top 25. Wildcats had already lost to Michigan, then they lost Saturday to Furman. So back-to-back losses for Jay Wright's team for the first time in 5 years. They have been up to number 8 before that loss last week. They have a lot of replacements at Villanova. They've lost Brunson and Bridges and DeVincenzo and Spellman, all those guys off that team last year. Syracuse dropped from number 15 to out of the poll after they lost to Connecticut and Oregon in the 2K Classic. Jim Boeheim says we're going to have to get better offensively if we're going to be successful. But here's the poll for this week. Duke remains number 1. No surprise there. 53 first-place votes for the Blue Devils. They're number 1 easily. Kansas is number 2 with 7 first-place votes. Gonzaga is 3rd. Virginia 4th. And Tennessee is number 5. North Carolina at 7. Auburn at 8. Looking for ACC or SEC schools here. Virginia Tech's at 13. Florida State's at 14. Mississippi State's at 15. And Clemson is up to 16. 16th for the Clemson Tigers in this week's AP poll. You got LSU at 19. And that's about it from this area, yeah. From the SEC, ACC.
Also receiving votes, Furman got 50 votes.
They got 50 votes?
Yep. Villanova got 53, and Furman got 50 votes.
Wow, how about that? How about that? Now, Furman, I mean, look, it's been impressive so far. They could crack the top 25. Wouldn't be shocking after what they have done with those wins so far. Congratulations, certainly, in order for the Furman Paladins. All right, 844-477-3776. We'll get our ACC roundup coming up. We'll hear from Dabo Swinney talking about the Tigers' win over Duke on Saturday night. And much more when we return. Stay with us. This is the Monday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Beautiful day, nice sunshine, cool temperatures. Enjoy it. We have some rain coming in later in the week. Thanksgiving, of course, coming up this week. And South Carolina Clemson coming up on Saturday night. We'll be talking more about that one. But the line on that one, at least from one betting house in Las Vegas right now, is 25.5 points in favor of the Tigers. 25.5 for the Tigers over the Gamecocks coming up Saturday night, 7 o'clock kickoff. This week in the ACC is presented by Dixie Vodka. When you think tailgating, think Dixie Vodka. For the Clemson Tigers on Saturday is a 35-6 win over the Duke Blue Devils. Duke got out to a 6-0 lead after one quarter, but it wasn't going to last, and it didn't. Dabo Swinney, though, talking about the slow start for his team on Saturday at home.
offensively just could not get in any rhythm in the first half. I mean, we missed a couple third and twos, missed throws. And then we dropped probably more balls tonight than any game all year. We probably had at least seven drops, and I mean, big plays. And one of them was a touchdown. So that was pretty disappointing. And then we were so ineffective on third down. A lot of it was we were in third and longs. And really disappointed in again, how we started. but the good news is it's a four-quarter game. And I thought the guys came out and dominated the second half in all phases.
That they did. Trevor Lawrence had a decent night, not a great night. 21 out of 38, 251 yards, and a couple of touchdowns passing. Leading rusher was ETN with 81 yards on nine carries. Trevor Lawrence, 26 yards. Adam Choice, 26. Chase Bryce came in at quarterback, ran for 23 yards. Lynn J. Dixon, 18. Tavian Feaster, 17. So they ended up with 208 yards rushing, but they spread it around among a bunch of different ball carriers. It was also a nice day for Justin Ross, wide receiver. 76 yards on four catches. T. Higgins had four for 47 yards for the Tigers in the 35-6 win on Saturday night over Duke. The Notre Dame-Syracuse game was a big letdown. It was 20-0 at halftime. 36-3 was the final. The Irish had no trouble at Yankee Stadium over Syracuse. Ian Book back to the starting lineup, threw for 292 yards for the Irish in that game. Big win for Florida State. They get their fifth win of the year by beating Boston College at home. 22-21 was the final in that one. 322 yards passing for DeAndre Francois. Pitt wraps up the ACC Coastal, beating Wake Forest 34-13. 316 yards for sophomore quarterback Kenny Pickett in that one. No trouble for NC State over Louisville, 52-10. So if Louisville loses to Kentucky next week, they'll finish at 2-10. 2-10 for Louisville on the year. North Carolina beats Western Carolina 49-26, so that's two wins for the Tar Heels on the year. Georgia Tech in overtime over Virginia 30-27. Georgia Tech and Virginia now at 7-4 on the year. And Miami beat Virginia Tech easily 38-14, so Miami gets their sixth win of the year. So in the AP rankings that are already out, we'll get the college football playoff rankings tomorrow night, but essentially for the ACC, Boston College dropped out, but Pittsburgh moved in. They move in at number 24. So, yeah, Pitt at 24. Syracuse down seven spots to 19. And, of course, Clemson stays at number two in this week's AP poll. Alabama got all the first-place votes from the AP voters, 61 of them, to stay at number one. Then you have Notre Dame third. You have no change in the top six. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma. Washington State did move one spot up in the AP poll. And by the way, UCF and LSU are tied in the AP poll. Tied at eight. Both got 1,064 points. So you have a 10-0 team and a 9-2 team tied
at number eight. How dare they disrespect the national champions?
I know it. Seriously.
How dare they?
Ohio State hangs on and gets a win, and they drop one spot in the AP poll to number 10. It was a real close win for them over Maryland. We have Gene on the line. Let's get Gene in next. Hi, Gene. Welcome in.
How are you, sir, over here in Gaffney? I'm a 67 graduate of Furman, so we'll go back a ways. But, you know, y'all were very kind to highlight Furman and talk about the wins over the weekend. And, they were impressive. I agree with you. Just have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Who is the only player in college Division One to have scored 100 points in a college basketball game?
Frank Selby.
Proud of you. I'm proud of you. I did not know whether you would know that or not.
Yeah, man.
Way back when, he sure did. And way back when, Furman's in the days, there was a coach named Joe Williams.
Yep, remember him well.
Do you remember do you remember the old North-South doubleheader in Charlotte, North Carolina?
I mean, not from any personal experience. Did Furman go up there?
Yeah, Furman, the North-South doubleheader, I think, started out with North Carolina and NC State against, I'm not sure who the original teams were. Anyway, over the years, they began to change and drop out. And anyway, Furman was fortunate enough, Joe Williams was coaching, to have played in that North-South doubleheader for a couple of years. And on two nights, back-to-back, we knocked off Dean Smith in North Carolina the first night, and we knocked off NC State, Dorn Sloan, and a guy named Hawkeye Whitney that played for NC State.
Yeah.
So, I can also remember, this is a fond memory on this one now. I'd hate to take on the boys from South Carolina, but when Frank McGuire was coaching, Furman and South Carolina both got into postseason play, and they had to go up to, I think I'm right about this, Philadelphia to play the first round game. How about that?
Wow.
Two South Carolina teams. Yeah, two South Carolina teams, one from Greenville and one from Columbia, having to travel to Philadelphia to play the first round game. And I might be proud to say here, Furman did send the Gamecocks and Frank McGuire back home.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to mention that little fact, have a little fun there. And, of course, they beat us enough times. But anyway, just want to tell you how much I appreciate you guys over here in Gaffney.
Thank you, man.
You do a great job listening to you pretty much every day. And appreciate all your coverage on Furman.
Appreciate that, Gene. Thanks for the call. Oh, yeah, I remember those Joe Williams teams very well. In fact, we've had Clyde Mays in here to co-host a show before in the huddle. Clyde Mays, Fessor Leonard, those teams back in the day for the Furman Paladins. But tell you what they did on Saturday, beating Villanova on the road, was pretty dang impressive for the Furman Paladins. That was something they'll remember over at Furman for a while, and it was 76-68 final in that game. Furman 5-0 now. So keep your eye on the Paladins, and as Patrick pointed out, they're bubbling under for the top 25 in the AP. Keep winning, they may crack it here pretty quickly. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Hope you're having a good Monday. Hope you're ready for some turkey. Pace yourself this week. It's going to be an interesting week with all the moving parts with our sports schedule this week, but we are glad you're with us today in The Huddle. We won't be here tomorrow because Clemson will be playing the winner of Georgia-Illinois State basketball in a tournament at Cayman Islands. 1 o'clock airtime tomorrow, so that'll cover us up tomorrow. We'll see about Wednesday. Depends on whether Clemson wins or loses tomorrow. Clemson wins tomorrow, then they play 7 p.m. on Wednesday. But if they lose tomorrow, they'll play 1 o'clock airtime, 1:30 tip-off on Wednesday as well. So, just be flexible with us, and we appreciate that. We will have the Burns High School football playoff game, third-round game against the Gaffney Indians on Friday night. That's where it's scheduled right now. We'll have it for you here on ESPN Upstate. I was just looking ahead at the forecast. I should probably not even do this on Monday, right? Because it's probably going to change.
No.
But I can't help myself, man.
You're curious.
Yeah, I'm curious. And when I look at it and I look at Friday night and it says 90% chance of rain, temperature 37 degrees, then I just like to close out and not look at it anymore.
You just kind of erase it from your memory? Never happened. I never saw it.
I try to forget, but it's all kind of stuck in my brain now. That's what it says for the Duncan area where the Burns game will be played. It says the same thing for Greenville-Spartanburg Airport just down the road. Yeah. Yeah, 37, 90% chance of rain. The chance of rain on Friday during the day is 50%. So I guess it kind of depends on when it transitions into the greater chance of rain on Friday night. By the way, for Saturday, if you're thinking about Carolina-Clemson, Saturday night, let's see what it says for Saturday night. Saturday night, just a 20% chance of rain. So that's good. And it'll be getting down to 43 degrees. You won't take your jacket with you to the Clemson-Carolina game, but much less chance of rain on Saturday than on Friday. We actually have a pretty good week as far as the forecast is concerned. The rain chances don't kick up until Friday, and we'll have temperatures in the mid to upper 50s today in the 60s. Very nice out there today, so enjoy that. So we have Burns and Gaffney coming up on Friday night here on ESPN Upstate. Burns down big against Sumter on the road Friday night. They were down 23-7, 26 unanswered points for the Rebels to win that game, 33-23. Gaffney won a low-scoring game at Rock Hill, 21-7 over the Bearcats to advance. So it's Gaffney at Burns. Dorman, we had their coach Dave Gutshall on at the start of our show today, just plastered Nation Ford, 58-12, so Dorman advances. And T.L. Hanna, I guess if that was a plaster, then this is a double plaster. They beat Northwestern 68-7. 68-7. So it's T.L., Hannah, and Dorman. And we had Coach Gutschall on. He said, basically, I don't mind that we're playing T.L. Hannah early. Got to play him sometime if we're going to get to the state championship. But that's going to be a challenge for the Cavaliers to go to Hannah this week and face that team. So Hannah Dorman, Gaffney Burns in the 5A Upper State playoffs. Three of those teams from the same region, Region 2 5A. We will have in the lower state, Dutch Fork taking on West Florence. Dutch Fork has they haven't had a close game this year. They just beat West Ashley 63-20 to advance. West Florence, a close game, but they pulled at least what might be considered an upset by ousting Fort Dorchester, 27-20. So Fort D is done. Berkeley beat River Bluff 32-14, and Somerville won over Carolina Forest 45-13. So it will be Berkeley hosting Somerville on Friday night. How about that? That's a good one.
That's my hometown.
Oh, yeah?
I'm from Berkeley County. I'm from Monk's Corner, South Carolina originally. Yeah. The rivalry is not as heated between Berkeley and Somerville as it is Goose Creek and Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still pretty potent. We all know when Somerville comes to town. We all know when Berkeley's going to Somerville. They travel. We all go. So this being a playoff game...
Should be big. Yeah, and Somerville's been kind of bubbling under as far as the low country here lately. They're trying to get back to where they were, and they may be getting there. They have been playing very well, for sure. And 4A, Greer still going. Greer beat York, high-scoring game, over 100 points scored in that game. They beat York 63-40, and Ridgeview took care of Westwood, so Greer will host Ridgeview this Friday night. Daniel beat South Point in two overtimes. How about that? 50-49. South Point, long considered certainly one of the better 4A teams around, but they're out. Daniel advances. So Daniel will host Wren. Wren was a 34-30 winner over AC Flora. So Daniel and Wren, Ridgeview and Greer in the upper state 4A. In the lower state, it'll be North Augusta at Hartsville and North Myrtle Beach at Myrtle Beach. The Battle of the Grand Strand in 4A football coming up on Friday night. Here's what's happening in 3A this week. Chapman advanced. They did not blow out Camden. They beat them 28-21. Union County did have an easy win over Indian Land, 55-14. So Union County travels to Inman to take on the Chapman Panthers and Coach Mark Hodge coming up on Friday night. That could be a good one as well. And then Southside. An overtime winner over Pendleton, 22-20. So Southside will get Chester this week. Chester ousted Broome, 39-15 in the 3A playoffs. In the lower state, Dillon advances. They'll play May River. I don't know much about May River. Is that a new school? I'm not even sure. I've been in South Carolina a long time. I thought I'd heard of every school. I don't know May River. Anyway, Dillon and May River, and then Hanahan will take on Wade Hampton. That is not Wade Hampton of Greenville. That's Wade Hampton of Hampton. So Hanahan hosting Wade Hampton coming up in the 3A playoffs on Friday night. Then in the 2A high school football playoffs, Southside Christian has advanced. They beat 96, 33-15. They'll play Saluda, 38-14 winners over Buford last week. So Southside Christian hosting Saluda this week. Abbeville continues to roll. They were winners over North Central 24-7, and Central beat Batesburg-Leesville 21-0, so Abbeville will play host to Central. In the lower state, Timberland and Barnwell will meet, and Bamberg-Earhart will travel to Carver's Bay in the 2A playoffs, and we'll finish out by telling you about the 1A playoffs and the teams remaining. Dixie hosting Mackby. Lamar plays host to Wagner-Sally. It'll be Green Sea Floyd's at Baptist Hill, and it will be Lakeview playing host to Hemingway. So that's what's left. Basically, we're down to eight teams in all the divisions here. So that's it, the final eight, as we move forward toward the state championship. So this week's games, then the November 30th games, and that will determine who goes to the state championship weekend. And those games, 1A and 2A, will be played on Friday night at Benedict College, and 3A, 4A, and 5A will be played on Saturday at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia. That'd be December 8th, for the 3A, 4A, and 5A, and December 7th for the 1A and 2A. So we're getting close. 3 weekends left for high school football in the state of South Carolina. We have some really good matchups coming up this week. All right, you can get in with us at 844-477-3776. HealthDare text line is 71307. Back on the other side, we'll hear from Will Muschamp after the Gamecocks win over Chattanooga on Saturday. We will also hear from Matt Canada from Maryland. Almost pulled off the big upset, but not quite. That's coming up in the final hour of the huddle next. Stay with us here on ESPN Upstate.